with Montana News. I'm Eric Whitney. The University of Montana Campus Police Department has met federal requirements to improve its response to reports of sexual assault. U.S. Attorney Michael Cotter said today an independent reviewer determined that campus police met the goals of a May 2013 agreement by improving its policies, practices, and training. That's led to more reliable sexual assault investigations. He says they've also improved their communication with university officials and Missoula police. Cotter said the changes came because people spoke up.
I want to thank the community and the advocacy groups who participated in bringing about these substantive changes.
In 2012, the Civil Rights Office, with the Federal Departments of Justice and Education, began an investigation that found gender bias was undermining law enforcement's response to sexual assault reports on campus. The training for police included reminding officers to focus on believing, reassuring, and empowering the person reporting the assault instead of making them feel like they were being investigated. A man who says he was raped while being held at a Montana jail is suing Jefferson County. Audemio Roscoe Ramirez filed the complaint yesterday in federal court, arguing inadequate staffing, failure to respond to allegations of assault, and general negligence caused serious harm and violated his due process rights. The Mexican national was detained at the Boulder Jail in October of 2013 on civil immigration charges. Roscoe Ramirez says he was smothered and sexually assaulted by more than one man. The complaint said video footage of his cell has large gaps during the time frame he says he was assaulted and that he's not been given any information on the investigation. Montana wildlife officials have tightened trapping regulations outside Yellowstone and Glacier National Parks to reduce the chances that threatened Canada lynx will be accidentally caught. The changes include restrictions on the types of traps, snares, and bait that can be used in special protection zones outside the parks. Fish, Wildlife, and Parks spokesman Ron Ajheim said wildlife commissioners approved the changes on a 3-1 vote yesterday. Commissioner Gary Wolf of Missoula cast the dissenting vote. The regulations result from a settlement of a lawsuit by environmental groups who said Montana wasn't doing enough to keep lynx from being killed. The group said 15 lynx have been captured since 2000 by trappers seeking bobcats, wolves, or other animals. Lynx are medium-sized, snow-loving cats that feed primarily on snowshoe hares. Environmentalists say a Canadian company's request to explore for gold and other minerals south of Livingston puts the greater Yellowstone ecosystem at risk. Lucky Minerals Incorporated wants to explore a 6-square-mile area for copper, molybdenum, and gold in Emigrant Gulch in the Custer-Gallatin National Forest and on private land nearby. The Greater Yellowstone Coalition says the exploration process itself would have significant environmental impacts. GYC Executive Director Caroline Bird says if a mine is developed, it could have a devastating environmental impact. Lucky Minerals Vice President Sean Dykes says critics are overreacting to what amounts to a plan in its earliest of stages.
All we want to do right now is explore on our claims, on our private land, and I think to figure out what's there. Then, when it comes to a stage where we're looking to say, okay, we found something, then we have to go through a whole process of analyzing what's the best way to extract it.
We'll have more on this story next week. Montanans now have more than 8,200 acres of new national forest land in the central part of the state. U.S. Forest Service officials and others celebrated the completion of the 8-year acquisition effort today at the state capitol in Helena. The Bear Ranch Foundation offered in 2007 to sell the checkerboard pattern sections of land in the Tenderfoot Creek drainage so it could be incorporated into the Lewis and Clark National Forest. It took work by 30 groups, including the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation and Tenderfoot Trust, as well as politicians at the state and national level to complete the acquisition. Supporters raised about $500,000 of the $10.6 million needed. The balance came from the Federal Land and Water Conservation Fund, which gets some of its money from offshore drilling fees. Air quality in much of western Montana improved today as winds from the south pushed smoke into northwest Montana and Canada. Storms expected through early next week should mitigate smoke impacts in places where rain falls. Air quality is moderate in the Flathead Valley, Libby, Frenchtown, and Missoula. Montana DEQ predicts weekend air quality to range from moderate to good in most places, with northwest Montana facing the most significant smoke impacts. Attendance at Glacier National Park soared last month, making it the busiest June on record. The Flathead Beacon reports that 414,000 visitors came to the park last month. According to National Park Service data, visitation was up 24% from June of 2014. This year is on pace to break last year's record of 2.33 million total visitors. The first 6 months of this year saw visitation 26% higher than last year. July and August are historically the park's busiest months. Total overnight stays jumped nearly 31% last month compared to the previous year. Backcountry overnight stays increased 115%, with 3,900 permits issued. A grizzly bear and her two cubs are being relocated after killing about 10 sheep near Lake Francis. The Great Falls Tribune reports the bears are being moved today to a site in the North Fork of the Flathead River. Grizzly bear management biologist Mike Medell says the bear family had been spotted near the east shore of Lake Francis, where they killed about 10 sheep. Medell darted the adult female from a helicopter Wednesday. The bear ended up in the river, where Medell held its head up to keep the bear from going under. Medell was later able to dart the 2 7-month-old cubs. The bears were found to be considerably thin. They've been fitted with tags so officials can track them. An audit says Xerox Corporation will be 6 years past its negotiated deadline by the time it completes an $84 million state contract for a new computer program to manage Medicaid payments. State officials received the report last week after the legislature sought an outside review. Since it began in 2012, Xerox has been found in breach of contract for missing deadlines, and a legislative panel has given them a vote of no confidence. The contract was renegotiated in 2014 with a new deadline of May 2017. The audit by Public Knowledge LLC predicts that at the current pace, the project could take until June of 2023, more than 8 years past the original deadline. Xerox spokeswoman Debbie Field said the company's review of the report suggests its methodology is flawed. I'm Eric Whitney. Thanks for listening.